Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are so thrilled to be with you this evening. Today is July 2nd of 2015, and this is going to be an incredible show tonight. We just like to set forth our intention for the show, and our purpose here with you tonight is to share individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives, and that really includes a very diversified group of individuals. Many from the medical fields, from the counseling fields, from the spiritual fields as well, you know, right down to the construction worker, those people that are out there, they're healers that are in your neighborhoods. We host those individuals to, you know, allow you to become acquainted with the new alternative means of dealing and coping with the world around us. Many individuals have tuned into listening to what's happening inside, and they're being led internally to all these various type of alternative support systems, and we bring those individuals forth to you so you can become acquainted to what's available to you in your network and within your community around you. The individuals that we host are from all over the globe, and they are here to freely share with you. So you can become acquainted, get to know, find out that you're not alone. Many spiritual individuals around the globe really are like islands, really not acquainted with the, you know, a person that's doing one type of therapy in one town, or an author in another town, or perhaps even an artist. And what we do is we kind of bring everybody together, and our purpose is really to bridge the gap so we can all kind of work in a very more harmonious fashion. And really support each other as we move forward into the new dawn. So this evening, we have an incredible show. We have a wonderful guest. And our guest this evening, my husband, Sam, is going to introduce. And we've had this special person on our show a few times. And we've been so blessed to be learn so much from him just being in his presence. He brings forth a wealth of knowledge. He's an author, but I'm going to let Sam introduce you to him. And let's have a great show, folks.
Well, thank you, Cabrini, for the great introduction. All right, here we are, Thursday, July 2nd, 2015. We are here. Here we are. Okay, we are pleased to announce that Augie Nast will be our featured guest monthly. First show of the month, our beloved Augie Nast will be sharing his incredible knowledge and experience. Tonight we are discussing immortality. This is going to be pretty interesting, to say the least. About Augie Nast. Augie was born and raised in Northern Europe, came to the United States of America to follow his dream. Throughout his many experiences as a flight instructor, commercial pilot, business owner, paranormal researcher, publisher, student of the mind, radio and TV talk show host and producer, and through direct mind and mind contact with the universal consciousness, he has learned many of the secrets of society and the universe. This is now all yours for the taking. Using this knowledge and principles, you can experience, as one of his favorite saying goes, good things start falling out of the trees into your path. Augie Nast has his book. Also, I would recommend you checking his website out and his book. His book's called Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. Learn how to expand the power of the mind at every level of existence. As the cliche goes, mind over matter. You can visit Augie's website, www.spiritual-sciences.net, spiritual-sciences.net. Augie Nast, are you there? Welcome to the show.
Hey, yes, I am. Here I am, and enjoy being on here again. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, this is great. Immortality, here we go. So, you know, we have some kind of, you know, from research, the general public kind of knows, like, you know, who look into this kind of thing. That there probably is technologies out there that can expand our lives, and so let's get into this. Let's see if we can get somewhere really concrete with tonight's talk here with immortality. It's something obviously that everybody in the past ages looked forward to, right down to the alchemists with the, you know, with the nectar of the gods, etc. So go ahead, let's talk about it.
Yeah, that's, gosh, I tell you, there's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start. But let me put a thought in your mind at the very start, and let that thought linger through the show until after, and then for the next few days, and you might start realizing why this thing called immortality is poo-pooed so much in the major media and in medical science. Mm. The evidence for it is there, but think of this. What do you think will happen to Social Security and all the retirement funds if people quit dying?
Good point.
Now, hang on to that question. Don't answer me. Answer yourself after the show, or maybe 3 days from now when it dawns on you. And the thing about it is that this term, I guess we call this show immortality. Well, immortality, that is, it's nobody really understands what it is, because it really means not ever die. I mean, now we're talking millions of years. I'm not so sure if that is all possible for millions of years, because sooner or later you're going to have an accident. I mean, something's going to happen. You're going to fall off a ladder somewhere and break your neck,
sure,
or you're going to get some real bad disease and you can die from it. The physical body is designed to replenish itself. But some of the design has been flawed along the way, and it was flawed on purpose. You heard this term called God doesn't make any junk. I don't believe that. I think God really made a whole crap load of junk, because there is evidence of it. It's called junk DNA. So if we look at that, over 90% of our DNA is junk DNA. That means fingers sticking out or empty spots where there's supposed to be something on that double helix. And where there is supposed to be something, there isn't any. It goes out and just hangs there. Obviously that there was something there at one time, but it was removed. So now we got another question. How did that happen? Well, when we talk about immortality, everybody say, oh, sure, that's not possible, because that's what they've been told. Now, if you hang in there, I'm going to prove otherwise to you in the next 45, 50 minutes, because medical science has found a way to stay alive basically forever, plus or minus disease and accidents. There is more to it than that even. If you go back into ancient history, the Sumerian tablets speak of the same people being around for several hundred thousand years. There is one, actually several, that they speak of. One is Anu. He was around for 400,000 years, according to these old written records. That was written way long by time before the Bible. Another one, Enki, and his wife Ninma. They were around for at least 360,000 years.
Wow.
And they are the ones, in the old records, they explain that they took a creature that already existed at the time, somewhere around 175,000 years ago, and manipulated the DNA and gave of their own substance, which they inserted into the two twisted ropes of life. But they withheld from their two twisted ropes of life. They withheld the quality of long life, knowing what is in the other's mind, and several other things. With other words, immortality was withheld, and telepathic capabilities were withheld. And I am sure that is part of what is now called junk DNA. It was taken away, and nothing was put in its place. Now, mankind has been around for a long time, according to the Sumerian tablets. So now we ask ourselves, how long have they been around? It is right about 240,000 years, according to the Sumerian tablets. And they talk about these people that came from the sky. They were called the Anunnaki. And they explain how they lived, how long they lived. But they also, even they, had to eat something ever so often in order to maintain a long and perpetual life. We have now discovered what it is, and we are perfectly well capable of making it. In fact, once you find out what it is, you can make it at home. And what they talk about in those Sumerian tablets about the gene splicing and the two twisted ropes of life, that obviously is the chromosomes. And I speak very lengthy about this in my book, The Spiritual Science, Higher Consciousness Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. You will find out the details about how mankind was created and what they did. And it sounds very much like in vitro and gene splicing in present-day technology. Now, another thing is what the Anunnaki did was that they ate this substance which we would call the food of the gods. And it is a white powder. In fact, when they broke into the Cheops pyramid the first time, they found in the king's chamber, they found it piled on with a white hardened substance.
Wow.
And this substance, they couldn't figure out what it was, so they took a bunch of it to the London Museum. There's some of it in Cairo, and there's several other places where some of it is placed. But when they put it under a spectral analysis to find out what substance it is, it shows up as AU, that is gold. But it's a white powder. That's not gold. Well, it kind of is. It is called the white powdered gold. And back in the 1980s and the early 90s, there was actually all the way through the 90s, there was a guy in Phoenix that was experimenting a lot with this. And David Hudson was the man's name, and he found how to make this white powdered gold. And now we've found an easier way to make it, several different methods, actually. And what it does to the genetic code is that it starts bridging the gap. That's a good term, isn't it? Between some of those, junk DNA. It starts putting the things growing out of it and attaching itself to other things. Of the junk DNA and to the two ropes, or the two helixes. So that is one thing that can be had. If you go to my Facebook page, you can see some of those. I got some of these things placed there. And let's maybe move to the little closer history. In the mid-1950s, there was a man, a university professor from China, that came to New York And a university professor from the U.S. went to China on an exchange program to exchange cultural information and differences to create a little more understanding between the two countries. And God knows they needed that back in the 1950s. And while this university professor from China was in New York, he went out with some of his colleagues one night and they had dinner. He got food poisoning and died. Oh. When they start going through his paper and his passport and all, they found out that the man was 154 years old.
Oh, wow.
Well, that should not have happened, should it? But it did. Then they talked to the ambassador from China, and he said, yeah, that is correct. He's 154, just like it says in his passport. And then they asked him, how can that be? And the Chinese ambassador said, well, really very simple. First of all, he did not believe he could die. And for the second, all he ate was Chinese berries and herbs. That was his food. And now I have found out what he did eat. And, of course, there were government documents that proved the guy was 154 years old. And then there is another one that I found on the Internet, and the Chinese government have confirmed that this man was actually 256 years old.
Oh, wow.
He was a Chinese martial art instructor, and there is Chinese documents tracing him back all the way back to his birth, and the government has confirmed this is true. And he also ate only berries and herbs. You want to know what he ate?
What did he eat?
There you go. He ate some herbs here. I'm going to list them as I found it. It's Ling Shi, goji berries,
wow,
wild ginseng, he shou vu, gotu cola, and the major one that really has got most of the credit for the immortality part of it is astragalus. Astragalus. I'm going to speak about that just in a little bit here because that's got some phenomenal capabilities. This man was a martial art instructor. In fact, his master was said to be 500 years old, but that was not confirmed by the government, but that was just said by the people that they had talked to there, and they claimed that he was.
Wow.
Now, my conclusion to all this, or that part of it, is that human body has the capability of growing very old. And I'm doing some of these regimens now. And let's just take this a little further, up to really recent history. In 2009... there was a team of doctors, three doctors. They got the Nobel Prize for discovering an enzyme that reverses the aging process.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if you can get much more medical credibility on something than getting the Nobel Prize.
Right.
I'm struggling with that one. If you come up with any more credibility than that, I want to know about it. Now, I read those papers, and you can check on this yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go research it yourself. Go to the Nobel Committee's website, 2009. Scroll down the page. It's a ways down there. Scroll down until you get to medical and click on it, and you will see the documents that were submitted to the Nobel Committee for consideration to get the Nobel Prize. I read them, and I also read some additional documents that these doctors just put out. And in the papers you will find there is one statement that just blows me away. Well, not totally. I'm kind of educated on this anyway, but it should blow you away when it says, taking this enzyme, which they have named, it is, it's right in the document, and taking this enzyme, there is really no way that you should die from old age anymore.
Oh, wow.
This enzyme is telomerase. Is the name of it. Telomerase. And the thing about it is that in young age, people have a lot of this enzyme in the body. But as we grow older, the genetics turn off the marker for the marker that produces the telomerase in the body. When that is turned off, the production of telomerase ceases. And what happens then is that every time a cell splits and reproduces itself, the telomeres at the end of the chromosomes shortens a little bit. If it was normal, then the enzyme telomerase would come in and help to lengthen those telomeres normally, at the normal length. But since there is no telomerase, they keep shortening up for every time that the cells are split and the chromosomes in the cells duplicate themselves. Therefore, the telomeres are getting shorter and shorter, and that is the reason for aging to the point where we die.
This goes into what you were saying regarding the disconnections within the DNA, right?
Yes, they actually will get to the point, first of fraying, and then to a disconnect. Because when the telomeres get so short that there is almost non-existent at the end of the chromosomes, then the chromosomes start fraying and they start splitting up. So the cells are no longer able to duplicate themselves, split and duplicate themselves. If you look at the telomeres, they're kind of like the little hardened tip at the end of a shoelace. Consider the shoelace, the genetic strings, the double helix. At the end, they have this end which looks just like the end of a shoelace. And if you look at it, you cut off the end of the shoelace, so what is going to happen? That shoelace, unless it's made out of leather, it's going to start fraying on you to the point where you just can't get it through the hole on your shoe anymore, so you've got to throw it away. Same thing with the double helix. Now they have found a way to reproduce this enzyme, and I know where to get it. And once you start taking this enzyme, then the telomeres will start lengthening. The cells will be able to reproduce and split and duplicate themselves again. So the old cells that were in there, they are being washed out through the lymph system, and your body is renewing itself to the point where your aging process, at least visually and physiologically.
Is this enzyme something available to the public, or?
It can be, and I can give you the name of it, but there's something first that I want to tell you. And that is that It's a little expensive. Probably to get on something like this is going to cost you to do a good job at it about $150 a month or something like that to do this. But there is another way. And that is doing it through what this university professor coming to New York did. He ate just Chinese berries and herbs. And what I forgot to tell you is that when he died, he looked like he was in his 50s or 60s. But he was 154. Wow. So that kind of makes you think a little bit. Now, there is another book out there that is, it's not mine, I didn't write it. Boy, I wish I would, because I love to take credit for it, but I can't. It's written by a lady called Adele Labrec. And the title of the book is How to Reprogram Your DNA for Optimum Health. And on page 99 in that book, and I'm opening it up right now, I'm getting to 99 here. Okay, here we go. They talk about telomerase, this enzyme, which you can get. And now, of course, you know, when pharmaceutical companies find this out, the first thing they're going to do, they're going to grab that enzyme and try to reproduce it so they can sell it as a pharmaceutical. Because, you know, you can patent pharmaceutical, you can do that, but and something natural cannot be patented.
Right.
So they can't make any money off the telomerase. They have to create something that they have created in the laboratory, which they can patent, and they did. There is something that is, it's called a wonder drug. Well, I'm struggling with that, but first of all, of course, you know, when you got a pharmaceutical, you have side effects. There are some of them that's pretty severe, but it'll do the same thing. And this is a pharmaceutical they call TA-65. It's made by the Geron Corporation, which actually the people that made it, they work for TA Sciences, which is a part of Geron Corporation. That's the manufacturer of this TA-65. Now, what they did there is that it took them a while, but they were able to produce this TA-65, and it will help produce telomerase in the body so that the telomeres are lengthening again. TA-65 is very expensive, by the way. So it runs more than what the actual enzyme does. So I'm struggling with why anybody would actually buy it. But there it is. Anyway, it can be done. And, of course, you try to get your doctor to prescribe the real thing. That's not going to happen. But he will, under certain circumstances, prescribe TA-65. Now, there's another thing here that says the telomeres... replenishes, I mean, a telomerase that replenishes telomeres or lengthening of the telomeres so they can continue to divide.
Wow.
But also there is that Chinese herb, which it says right in the back of this on page 100 here, and it says really very simple, astragalus. I'm going to read that, those three lines here. Ultimately, however, there is no evidence that the proprietary medicinal formulations of TA-65 would impact telomerase and the telomeres production any different than a high-quality astragalus supplement. So if you take in the large doses astragalus, that can do the same thing as TA-65. I did say it'll do the same thing as TA-65. I didn't say that it would do the same thing as the real thing, the telomerase enzyme. because that I couldn't say because it hasn't been tested that way. But most likely it would. So,
incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. But
we know some modern day alchemists who do the collection process of ormus, and that's what you were talking about, the ingestible gold.
Yeah.
And apparently there's been studies and there's research out there too. I mean, you can find it online where they applied it to like their pets. Like there was one, a cat who had grown a tail, like the tail was cut off and it regrown a tail. People had regrown teeth. So there is things out there that really do promote longevity of life. I want to get into, you know, we were discussing this before the show came on, Cabrini and I, and we were talking about, you know, immortality. And what's your take on what happens to the karmic wheel? What happens to reincarnation at this point?
Reincarnation?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just make one quick comment first, and that is that immortality, I don't know if it is all possible, because that speaks of millions of years. But if you're going to hang around for, let's say, a few hundred thousand years, that, first of all, you might get bored. Do you really want to do it? But on the other hand, as long as you are inhabiting the physical body, whatever is there with you on the spiritual side will stay with you. And at one point, when you drop the body, then you will go back into spiritual form, and you will go back and reevaluate what you did, and you'll find out, do I have a reason to go back and change something that I screwed up, or do you just say, well, I think I learned what I needed to learn? Chances are that if you live that long, you may not need to come back, because you have done so much, you've gone through so much and learned so much, that you probably would reach a level of spiritual awareness to the point where you have no need to go back into physical reality again. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like there's various modalities of, prolonging your life. And one is also, you know, how you can clone yourself and recreate your body to where you age. You just transplant whatever you need to transplant. That's more of a mechanical way of doing it.
Yeah, they are getting to the science now. Is getting to the point where they could. There's one group at UCLA, I think it was in California. They said that, give me 5 years, and I will be able to download all your knowledge into a computer, and we can transfer that knowledge into another computer in the brain, or into the mind of another body. So it is coming. That's incredible.
Yeah. I've heard of that also. I've heard of that also. And yeah, that's pretty incredible stuff. So would that be, would you consider that artificial intelligence? Would the primary body be there? You see, there's a question. There's almost an ethical part to this, isn't there?
Yeah. If they transfer your bioelectric energy of memory of energy into a computer chip and then transfer it, that probably should be considered as artificial intelligence. But it is more than intelligence. It is probably, once it is transferred into another brain, it will have the capability of that brain, which has the pituitary gland, which opens up to the universal consciousness, and I think you probably could bridge the gap again. Hey, I'll keep using that one, that term, because that's so good. I think you could actually end up living another life in that body with the same memories from the previous one.
Right.
Incredible.
If you did it with as a child.
Yeah,
it gets a little, it can get very convoluted, depending on who the marketer is and who the builder is. And given the right hands, you know, the right scientific hands, you know, the good mind that can orchestrate this. Yeah, it's a wonderful world. But we all, I think we really have to have some sense of integrity as we move forward, because all of our best efforts got us into a place of chaos in our world so far.
Yeah.
So the integrity is, I think, the truth and honesty of creation is very important. It gets very convoluted when I think about having information transferred from one body to another, and then you start deciding, well, what bodies are worth keeping? It gets a little nuts there, don't you think?
Yeah, and it gets really confusing when you start transferring things from one body to another one like that. And, you know, first of all, why? Why do we want to do it in the first place? But if we do want to do it, there will be an option to do it in the future. But we, like you mentioned, you know, truth and honesty and integrity, that is only exists among the people.
Yeah.
So the people must, if this is going to be real, is must be in charge of their own existence. And right now they're not. They
You're
are
right.
under the system called government. And those qualities does not exist there. Let me make another comment here, and that is that, do you remember the in 1994 at the Earth Population Summit in Cairo, Egypt, 184 nations participated. They made the decision that they must decrease population of Earth to, I think it was 800 million. They said, yeah, that was 800 million by 2025.
Wow.
And they are doing their best. They failed many times. AIDS virus failed on them, and they started that before. But, you know, SARS and all these diseases that they say, oh, yeah, it's going to be coming, you know, and sure. But we seem to be too resilient for it. And now they're going to the the chemtrails, which they have confirmed that they're doing. Their explanation is that it is to keep the sunlight out. Well, actually, that is working the other way, because they end up with a greenhouse effect, so that whatever light makes it through, it gets trapped. It does not bounce off into space again. So the greenhouse effect is actually worse than what the shelter of that aluminum and the oxides they're putting into the higher atmosphere. And, of course, they know that, so that's planned.
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah, it's an enormous task. I know when I think back throughout my life and even my parents' life, a lot of the fears of the future were presented to them as well. And there was this calm reassurance that, you know, with each other and with the community at large, that kind of numbed this concern. And
yeah.
What I've come to realize is that a lot of the concerns that my parents had and my grandparents had have come to fruition. So it's
yeah.
more important, I think, to really be aware and not to be kind of hypnotized by the collective propaganda, and really allow yourself some space to, you know, get your own information and do your own research and educate yourself, because we can look at our past, all of us here, those people that are listening right now, and you can, you know, in retrospect, see that a lot of the guidance that was offered, you know, that came through, that insight, that concern, was necessary, and it was a good guidance.
Yeah. And there's another thing, too, that we probably should touch on while we are on that subject, and that is that it is our responsibility to keep our body healthy. And in my book, I speak very, you know, quite a bit about that. In fact, if you go to www.spiritual-sciences.net, you will find my book there. And in there, I speak about how to keep your body healthy. In fact, keep it healthy both by nutrition and using your mind. A martial arts master told me many, many years ago, and he said, if you do this, you will never be sick in your life. And I've done that. I've never been sick in my life. Except when I was 7, they took my tonsils out, and that wasn't my idea. But after that, you know, I've never been sick. So there is a way to do some simple things that will keep you very healthy. And if you're sick right now, you start doing those things, and those things will go away if you do it right. So check that out, because there may be some pearls in there that you are missing out on.
Now, this information that you're sharing, is this research information that you found that you put in your book, or has this been personal experience? Have you been practicing changing your lifestyle, you know, incorporating different foods, behaviors into your life?
I've been doing a lot of that. I don't really eat like normal people. I eat pretty healthy. Once in a while, I sin too and have a steak dinner, but try to stay with mostly raw natural food. And one thing I've done since I was about 6 inches tall, and that is to have one big bowl of oatmeal, raw oatmeal, every day.
Wow.
And that makes a difference, because I read some medical research coming out of Stuttgart, Germany, at a research hospital where they said that someone that has eat a big bowl of raw oatmeal every day of his life live on the average 11 years longer than the ones that don't.
Wow. So you've been having a bowl of oatmeal every day?
Every day. Well, there's been a few, you know, I miss a day here or there. There's been a little bit.
But, I mean, overall, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you feel the benefits of this?
Oh, I have more energy than people one-third my age.
Well, you know, I've heard that. I've heard that, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard about that too, about, you know, how it helps keep the heart, you know, kind of regular and all that. So that's really, you know, I'm sure, you know, when I think about the fiber aspect, it probably is very, very good for your whole body.
Yeah, there's more to it than fiber. There are some things in there that helps the telomeres to stay longer.
Wow.
And what I was saying about the Chinese herbs and berries there, that is very important. Go back and listen to this show and get those down, and go to your health food store and get it. Do better than that yet. There is an online health food store. Oh, gosh, now I'm going to advertise for them too. It's called PipingRock.com. That's where I get my astragalus. And a month's supply will really set you back about $8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is it an herb?
You should take it a little more than that, so you might end up with 16.
Is this some kind of supplement you take? Is it a supplement form? Or?
It's in capsules.
Okay.
Yeah, in capsules.
And so overall, all of these different types of behavioral changes can really improve and offer you more longevity for your life.
Absolutely. And you're not concerned about living forever, most people probably, they have no idea how to understand that concept. But staying healthy until you're 120 years old, that could be of the interest of everybody.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were having this conversation today, you know, within our family about the longevity, and we're seeing the aging, you know, amongst, you know, people around us, and a lot of the individuals really didn't take that good care of themselves, so, you know, they're really feeling the punch of it in their age. And I find if you start taking care of yourself early and really listening, I think that's a really key part. Don't you think, Augie, listening to your own inner guidance about what is good? You know, I notice that my body literally craves certain things. And, you know, when I've done research about the things that I'm craving, I'm noticing that there's a natural intelligence of the body that is kind of guiding me, you know, Cabrini, the personality here, into what's best for me. And I really
like
that connection with the overall consciousness that's in everything that kind of teaches us and guides us.
Yeah, and then another thing that people should do is to get used to doing a little bit of dowsing. Use the pendulum. That pendulum speaks. That is an interface between the universal consciousness and your hand, and it'll tell you what the body needs. Really simple. And once you start testing it, you'll find out after a while you'll get good at it.
Incredible, incredible stuff this evening, folks.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier about this white powdered gold, that ormus.
Yeah.
I really think that people should consider that. I have a friend here in Tucson that, in fact, a couple of three years ago, he broke his neck, and they put all kinds of steel rods and stuff in there, but they didn't quite get it right. He had tingling in his fingers and his hands, and they didn't work right. Well, he's been on this ormus now for probably, I introduced it to him about, oh gosh, maybe 2 months. His fingers are working. He don't have the tingling anymore.
Oh,
absolutely.
It rebuilt the nervous system.
Yeah. Yeah.
For all of those who are interested, yeah, look up ORMUS, O-R-M-U-S. It's the collection method that was discovered not long ago, and it had to do with ancient alchemy. And ultimately, the end product, what you collect, which is life force, and it's in a form of an ingestible gold. And according to some of the modern alchemists we know, it basically, because you're ingesting gold, they call it activation of certain parts of your DNA. And I think that's what you were touching on earlier with the DNA reactivating. Yeah, I had personally, Cabrini and I personally, ingested it for a while. And the outcome was incredible. It's not only physical, it's also conscious. There's an expansion of consciousness that happens so through your whole being. And there's various methods of doing it. You can collect it through morning dew. You can collect it through seawater. You can collect it through sea salts. You can collect it through almost anything. There's also photographs before and after of thermal radiation photographs of before and after. And there's a big difference. So, yeah, ORMUS is something that is... it's out there. We have to be careful, though, because there's a lot of online stuff that's very much overpriced, and we have to really consider the intention of the alchemists when they collect this. When they collect this.
And if somebody contact me on that privately through Facebook or through whichever way, then I can lead you to the people I know are doing it right because I'm taking it from them. And that's something that I probably should tell you. There is a side effect of the ORMUS.
Go ahead.
Well, tongue-in-cheek, I'll tell you the side effect is that you will become much more psychic.
Oh, very true.
You'll start realizing what other people are thinking. And if you keep doing it in the large doses, it will be to the point where you start hearing their thoughts.
Well, you're motivating me here to start making ORMUS.
Yeah. But if you got to remember what David Hudson said about this man in Phoenix that they were working with. He took it in large doses, and after a while, he started hearing people talking around him all over the place, and it got so overwhelming he couldn't handle it. He moved out into the desert in a tent, and... he kept taking it in the large doses, and he said that out there he had more peace. And at night, it got when he was out there for several months, then it was one time David went out there and talked to him, and he said that there's a man that comes and visits me during the night, and he sits with me and teaches me things, he says. And they have discussions about the universe and how things work and what to do and so on. And the only thing about this guy that he's lit up like a light bulb.
Oh, wow. What an incredible story.
Yeah. So there is, David Hudson was making this white powdered gold, he burned it in an arc oven, put an ounce 1 ounce of gold in there. And when they heat it to 5,300 degrees for 2 minutes, then it loses about 54% or so of its weight when they cool it off.
Oh, wow.
Where does the other weight go? Well, it turns two-dimensional.
Oh, wow.
And what they cool off is not gold anymore. It's a white powder.
This is mentioned in ancient times as well, right? The mana and
yeah.
et cetera.
Yeah.
Fountain of life, the nectar of the gods.
Yeah. That's why we've been saying, you know, that the truth is stranger than fiction. You can't make this stuff up. There's no way you can make it up.
Yeah, you're right. It's the truth is much more strange than fiction.
Yeah.
Immortality, folks. Here we are with it. I think it's such an intriguing topic because innately we all feel our own eternity inside ourselves, beyond our physical, you know, and mental aspects of us. I think there's an innate feeling of our eternity within.
Yeah, there is. And in fact, I go even further than what we've been talked about too. We've been talking about, you know, getting the gold and the supplements and these things. There is a way to do the whole thing just by the power of your mind. In the book, I explain how to do that, how to, in fact, go back and redesign your life the way you want it to be by visualizing it into existence on a mental level of existence first. And then you go back and forth to that mental creation of yours. And as linear time progresses, you get closer and closer to that creation you have created in the mental. Then when the time arrives, you just walk into it and it is there. You are living it. And there is ways you can use your mind to adjust your genetics to be in a more perfect health and be able to do some of the things that you want to do, even mentally and physically and definitely spiritually. And I've been doing that for many decades now. When I go to sleep, I put myself in a white cocoon of bright white light. And unless I forget, but that's not very often. I always done that for several decades, and it rebuilds the body at night when I sleep. And that's probably one of the reasons why I'm, you know, never get sick unless I, you know, I can actually, yeah, I can get a cold, but it's gone in 6 hours, and I usually get rid of it because I do away with it. There's another method that I explain in the book that teach you how to do that. Very simple. But taking care of your body starts with the mind, and it can turn mental, and you use it as a mental exercise, and when you do that, then it turns into the body, and the body gets the benefit from it.
That's right. It really does start in the mental part of the self. We are innately creators. So if we can create a chair or a computer, we can definitely create our lives.
If you go to this website and get the book, then I'm making myself, as long as I can anyway, I'm making myself available to everybody that reads the book. They can contact me. We can discuss things there. And I can tell you what I would do if I was them. Of course, what I have told you about all these medical situations here today, that is not, I'm not practicing medicine here. I'm not giving you any diagnosis or anything. I'm just telling you what I would do if it was me. But this is what people have done, and this is in some medical circles. This is known, but it is not being used because there is no money in it.
Yeah.
Really simple.
Augie, one more time with the title of your book and how people can access it.
Yeah. The title of the book is Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal consciousness. And the website is www.spiritual-sciences.net. And in the book, you will find, if you go to the website and read all the subject areas that is written about, I'm sure you at least find two of them in there that you're interested in. And I've written on probably about 40 different subjects that pretty much everybody's interested in. So there's a lot of good stuff in there, and you will learn some things that you never would think would be possible. And you'll be able to do things that you would think would be impossible. If you read the book three times, then you and me should have a lengthy discussion about where to go from there, because there's a next stage.
Well, that is so exciting, folks. Augie is a wellspring of information. He's going to be with us every month, the first show of our month. He's going to be on sharing his incredible knowledge. He's had almost, you know, many lifetimes in one lifetime with all of the different skills that he brings forth in the community. You know, not only is he an author, he's a spiritual teacher. He is a pilot. He has had his own pilot school. He's had his own TV show, radio show. And, you know, he is probably one of the most down-to-earth people that we have come to know through this media, our radio show. So we are so blessed to have him with us here today. Augie, do you have any messages that you'd like to share? We have just about 2 minutes left.
Well, there is a message, but it is up to you guys listening here to what to do with that message. And that is, it goes back to an old saying, is that a mind is like a parachute. It isn't any good for you if it isn't open. You got to open up to some of these things. You got to go and do your own research. There's a saying that says there's no book that has all the knowledge and no man has all the truth. So that goes for me too. Sooner or later, I'm going to write something in a book somewhere or somewhere that isn't right. You got to do your own research. Don't take anybody's word for anything unless you do your own research. And then douse it or discern on it. And if you find that it's good, then go with it. But it is up to you. I tell you, though, there is so much more out there than the average Joe Blow and Harry Hohandel knows about. Go out and find some of that stuff. Go and do some of those things. Get on the front line of things. But be careful when you deal with government. I have a personal experience in that arena. Maybe that's for another show.
Yeah, that's another topic, folks. Mm-hmm. We're with Augie Noss. Check out his website at www.spiritual-sciences.net. Get his books, Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking, and How to Access the Universal Consciousness. It's wonderful, wonderful information. And I'll tell you, having the tools really makes your life better. That's it for today, folks. We're really glad that you've been with us. We hope that this information and our sharing today has elevated you and inspired you to move forward in your life. Augie will be back with us the first week in July, August, and he'll be bringing some more information, and perhaps we can touch on that. We're going to leave the show off with some music from Jim Wafer, a bell drum maker from New Zealand.